This is Chad Harrison, and you're listening to Hope Alive, applying God's Word to your daily life. Hi, this is Chad Harrison, and I am the teaching pastor of Lake Community Church and have been serving as a pastor for 25 years. I'm also a practicing attorney. This podcast is designed to help you study God's Word and find God's will for your life. I pray in the name of Jesus right now that God would open up His Word to you and allow you to see Him and to know Him and to know His will, that you might glorify Him and that you might walk in faith and power each and every day, especially today, in Jesus' name.
Hello and welcome to Lake Community Church's Morning Bible Study. We are at 39, Exodus chapter 39, and we're back dealing with something we dealt with in chapter 28. Tangentially, we really just ran over it. But in Exodus chapter 39, verse 2, when you're talking about the priestly garments, the main garment that everybody's going to focus on, the main garment that everybody's going to talk about that knows anything about the priestly garments, and I qualify that way because the truth is the number of people that actually talk about the ephod are not many. In fact, we don't talk about it very much in Scripture. In fact, in the Old Testament, ephod can mean two things. It can mean a garment worn by the priest to go into the Holy of Holies. It can mean an idol. And there are places in Scripture where ephods are idols. Not this ephod, but an ephod is an idol. And understanding that's one of the things that goes along with an ephod, and you go, what is an ephod? When they put on their robe, the high priest would have looked like, for an ancient soldier, would have looked like a breastplate. But it wasn't a breastplate in the sense that it was made of metal. It was and it's not a vest either because it doesn't open in the front. It is a pullover piece of material that had gold and stones sewn into it. And in fact, it says in verse 2, he made the ephod of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet. So we've added from the just regular robe, which had inwoven in the material, blue, purple, and scarlet, eternality, the royalty, the better price, but adding to it gold, which represents heavenly things. It is the metal that is the representation of the kingdom of heaven. And it's woven into this fine linen. And then they beat the gold into thin sheets and cut it into the thread. So you've got little strips or little parts. It's not like a full metal armor plate. It's just little strips of gold that were made, little parts that were made mostly to hold these stones, to have a place to set the stones in them. And it went through with the blue, purple, scarlet thread and the fine linen into artistic designs. Notice this is a beautiful piece of garment. They made shoulder straps for it to couple it together, meaning it had a back and a front, and it's got shoulder straps over it. So you go, it's like a vest. Yeah, it is. And it was coupled together with two edges, and the intricately woven band of his ephod that was on it was of the same workmanship, woven of gold, purple, and scarlet thread, fine woven linen, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And they set onyx stones enclosed in the settings of gold. And they were engraved as signets are engraved with the names of the sons of Israel. He put them on the shoulder of the ephod as a memorial stone for the sons of Israel, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And you've got this ephod, which is a piece of material. It's not a breastplate in the sense of an armor breastplate. And it's got on the shoulders, it's got these stones. And then there is a plate on the front. There's a metal plate right here on the front, but it's just a small metal plate. It's not to cover the whole body. It's just right there on the chest. And he made the breastplate artistically woven like the workmanship of the ephod of gold, blue, purple, scarlet thread. And they made squares for doubling it, and the span was the length of a span. It's width than doubled. Really, it's a plate that would have just barely covered his chest, and not all the way down to his waist. And they set it four rows of stones, and you had sardis, topaz, emerald. The second row was turquoise, sapphire, and diamond. The third row, jacinth, agate, and amethyst. And the fourth row, beryl, and onyx, and jasper. And there were 12 stones according to the names of the sons of Israel. So you have these stones that that have the names of the sons of Israel. These are the tribes of Israel. And it says, and the names were actually engraved on the stones. And it says, and they made chains for the breastplate at the ends, like braid cords. They tie each other with braided, not thick gold, but braided gold chains to tie to the shoulder, or tie to the back of it, to tie it together in the back. It says on the two ends and two braid chains, they were fastened to the two settings and put them on the shoulder straps of the ephod in the front. And they made two rings of gold and put them on the two ends of the breastplate. So they tied them off. They made two rings of gold, tied them off to the actual just piece of gold that sat on his breastplate. And they bound the breastplate by means of its rings. And basically, it is a beautiful piece. And you go, well, why are you rushing through this? Well, because I went over some of the stones last time. But the main thing is to figure out what this is and why we don't talk about it. And it seems like something that we would not think that would be. Just to be honest with you, we don't really consider this something biblical, because it was something that the priest wore, and only the priest could wear it, because if anybody else wore it, the punishment was severe for that. And the only person that could wear it was high priest, and he wore it to do his priestly duties, mainly to go in the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur, the high holy day. And so it was something that would seem to be, and I'm going to use this word, like an idol, something that it's not really thought of or really talked about. The Ark of the Covenant, they carried the Ark of the Covenant in front of the army, and no army that marched out with the Ark of the Covenant in front of it could be defeated. You've got all these myths about the Ark of the Covenant, but you haven't had anything about the ephod. And I've thought about it, and I've wondered about it, and I've considered it, and I know that clothing represents the covering of sin, but it's not clothing. It is literally a piece of metal that's literally a garment that has metal on top of it. It's not a piece of armor. It's just a square piece of metal with stones on it. It doesn't function to it. And if you look it up on the internet, there are all kinds of depictions of it, because we really don't know what it looked like totally. We know how it was made, so we can extrapolate that out and make something looks like, but we don't know how those stones looked. We don't know how the engraving looked on them. We just don't have any idea about it. We don't see it. And as I was thinking about it and I was considering it, I said, what is this? First of all, I think it's good. It's important to look at it and say, okay, what is going on with this? It's got the names of the sons of Israel. And there is an element to this, and it was used in worship. So you need to definitely nail that down as you're thinking about it. It was a part of worship used by the high priest. So we've got priestly that would tie to the church, and you got it being worn during worship. That's something that the church would do, and it'd be worn by the high priest. But the high priest is a Levite. He's not all the tribes, but he's wearing all the tribes. And what I really come to think is a representation of the legacy of faith that we carry with us as believers. And in many ways, it is an important aspect of worship. And I think about that in many ways as I was just trying to consider what this, because it's made of gold, it's dealing with definitely the kingdom of heaven. It's definitely dealing with legacy of those who came before us, the sons of Abraham. It is a picture. It's a beautiful piece of material because it's got inlaid with gold, and it's a beautiful, almost, I guess, best way you can describe it is, in many ways, it's a piece of jewelry. It's a huge piece of jewelry that was worn into the worship service. It's a beautiful addition, And so it has importance. And the importance, I got to believe, is that we carry a legacy of faith, a heritage of faith, and each believer carries that heritage and legacy of faith with us into worship. And I do know, scripturally speaking, that anointings from our family does get handed down, and God does honor the heritage of faith that we come up in as we move our family forward. God's in the business of redeeming and saving not just individuals, but families of people. And if you have a heritage of faith, it is a powerful thing that you carry. I have a great heritage of faith, and I sincerely believe that a lot of the power that I rack in and the position that I live out in my daily life comes from that heritage of faith. And you go, well, that's not really fair for new Christians. No. Remember, God loves new, he loves to dig new wells. He loves to plant new vineyards. And so the first of the heritage of faith, just like in the Old Testament, is one of the greatest. And many times it is the greatest, like Abraham. And there's great reward for being the first in your family or being the beginners of the people that you come from to hear Christ and to believe in him and to join the kingdom of heaven. That's a powerful thing to do. That being said, if you come from a great line of heritage of faith, there is great anointing and there's great power that comes from that. That being said, I think it's important that when we do new things, and by the way, God is in the business of doing new things in his kingdom and doing new works and operating in different ways so that he can glorify himself in all the many myriad of ways that he wants to. When we do that as a church, we can't just throw the baby out with the bathwater. We need to bring our heritage with us, our heritage of faith that we've come up in. Oftentimes, a new church culture wants to just throw everything away and may not remember the things that our heritage has passed down to us that makes us powerful, that makes us anointed, that gives us the anointing that we have. And many of those things, they are traditions. And remember, we don't do traditions just for traditions, but we do traditions for the purpose of glorifying the past. There's nothing wrong with having standing stones. There's nothing wrong with having memories of what God's done in the past and honoring those things by some of the things we do in a church. But we need to remember what the purpose for those things are and why we're doing them, and so that we properly honor those things. That being said, churches that don't honor that, churches oftentimes that struggle with that, and that's going to be a problem through our modern day church culture, because we have a lot of churches that don't have a whole lot of heritage of faith behind them. And so they really need to dig down and realize where their heritage comes from and tie those things off to what they're doing today. Why? Because apparently the ephod's important. And the ephod has great value. And the ephod was something that they thought was an aspect of worship that God says, I want the high priest to wear this. And so where you come in that, and who and what has been before you to get to you, is it's something that needs to be considered. I have a great heritage of faith. I know the teachings and the beliefs of the denominations that my family came out of. I take hold of those things that I think are timeless and eternal from those heritages, and I hold on to them. Each one of the different areas of faith that my family came out of, Methodist and Baptist primarily, but there's some Presbyterian, a little bit of Pentecostalism out there also. Those heritages that I came out of are important, and they placed a high view of Scripture. They believed in gathering together and assembling together for worship. And they believed in the power of the Holy Spirit. And they believed in the priesthood of the believer. All those things that I keep throwing out just in a line right there are great heritages that I carry with me. And in my ministry as a pastor and in my work as a believer, I think I need to honor those things in my life and make sure that they are in part of who I am. And those of you who don't have that heritage, you are making the heritage. You're learning, you're being discipled, you're figuring it out. And those things you learn about God need to be handed down. You're the new vineyard. You're the new row that's being dug. And you need to make sure that you add to that vineyard as much as possible so that as it gets passed down from where you are to the generations to come, that you are passing down those great understandings of Scripture and those great activities that believers take that are mandated by Scripture, called on us by God, but also that mean a lot. And some of the things don't mean a lot. The shape of the building, what the building looks like, and the color of the carpet is not important. But what went on in that building, what went on in the hearts of people, what was emphasized, the power of worship, what was emphasized, the word of God, what was emphasized as far as discipleship, as far as evangelism, as far as the things that are the bedrock of our faith, they need to be honored. And I really think that the ephod represents that. I think that oftentimes in our faith, we need to go back to where we began and remember the things that we built our life upon, so that we can strengthen those things so that we can move forward. And each believer needs to do that. I think each congregation needs to do that. And I think we as a people of God need to move forward. And if you look around, there are a lot of differences between denomination, churches, things like that. But the differences are far outweighed. The differences are far outweighed by the similarities. The similarities are stark, considering how many directions the church has gone, especially over the last 400 years with the Protestant Reformation, and how alike we really are as Christians, as followers of Christ, and how much we really believe a clear of things that are all the same. And we follow them, Lord, and we are part of one holy church. I'll use the word Catholic as universal, and that's what Catholic means. We are one Catholic or universal church that is under Christ. And about 95% of who we are and how we function is very similar. And the reason it's very similar is because it comes from the same place. And then you have the uniqueness of the individual strands of that faith. And I would just say to you that when you think about the ephod, think about the heritage of faith that you have, and you bring that to the table. And you shouldn't discount it, because there's great anointing and power that comes from it.
As you go today, I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you, that He'll make His face to shine upon you, and that He will give you hope and peace today in Jesus' name.